Hey, let's I'm gonna pray real quick and then we'll get going with the really important part. Just kidding. You guys are all important. This whole morning is important. Dear God, thank you for this morning. Thanks for a chance that we have to come together, hang out with you, hang out with each other, and God, pray your blessing on this morning. Pray that you would speak your words here and that we would leave here a little bit changed this morning, God. And just thanks for who you are, and praise in Jesus' name, amen. So you kind of been hearing a little bit about it, kind of from Christy, a little bit from me, just kind of people around. There's rumors flying everywhere, and things are changing around here. And we figured we probably should let you know what's going on and how things are going to be changing. Things are going to look kind of different around here. So that's kind of what we're going to talk a little bit about this morning. But we're going to do it a little bit differently than me just saying, here's how things are going to be. So Aaron Luevano is actually going to come up here and help me, right? Remember we talked about this? Okay, good. Interpretive dance to everything I'm saying? That. Oh, why? Oh, that's okay. Come up here. No, I do need your help. Why do you go to Sky High to do backflip? Why don't you just do it like Brian and do it right here?
Well, because I'm not as small as Brian. I'm kind of big. It doesn't really work.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah, it is.
Ooh. Okay. Well, we're gonna have a death match at the end, Brian versus Aaron. So they both have bad knees. It's even, except for Aaron's really big and Brian's really small. So.
Oh, so. I said he was smaller than me. I never said he was small.
Oh, okay. So that's what I heard too. So when I just, I'm going to use you in a second, but you can pull up a chair if you need to. When I was in junior high, I was going to this church and I didn't really, I went to like this private school kind of at the end of junior high, kind of a long story. I had a teacher. I don't know if I told you guys before. She was a little bit crazy, and so I left this public school that I was at, and I went to this private school. So I didn't really know anybody who went to this church, and they all kind of knew everybody because they all went to the same schools and stuff. And so I kind of always felt like it, like I was on the outside. And when the one time that just really stands out to me from junior high from this church is we used to go into the main services and do worship because we didn't have a freaking awesome band like we do now. So we'd go into like the main services and do worship, and then we'd leave, kind of like the little kids do in our main services, and we'd leave and go do our own class. And our little kids and onesie, who always leaves with them. Don't lie. Don't lie. So we would do that the same as onesie does and the little kids. And I remember one day we would sit in these like two rows, and I was sitting in the front row, and there was like, the rows were entirely full, both rows, except for on my right and on my left. I was just kind of like sitting there by myself, right? And you got to remember, in junior high, I'm like, this. I make Cyrus look giant in junior high, right? And so, it's cool, man. Don't be loud or anything. So I'm sitting. You know, we're standing up, or actually, I'm standing up. I don't even know if anybody else. I guess they were all standing up, but. So we're standing up, and the rows are full except for on my right and on my left, and I'm just kind of like standing there, just like, woohoo. And you know, I'm a terrible singer. That's not really true. I'm really angelic. But back then in junior high, my voice was, you know, doing stuff. So I was terrible then. So I was already kind of like a little bit shy about singing, and so I'm like trying to sing, you know, I can't remember what song, some really awesome 90s song. And there's these like three girls behind me, and I don't remember if they were good looking. They're probably ugly, so it makes me feel better because what they would do, and it was just innocent. And they weren't really like being mean or anything, but they were like clapping along with the song, right? And you kind of get, you know, you get into it sometimes. And then what they would do is they would kind of lean forward and like clap. I had this sweet haircut, right? So have you ever heard of a step cut? Oh, dude, it was all the rage. All right, so it's like. It's like your hair is kind of longer, right? And I had like a little wave up front. It was pretty sweet. And then, but up underneath, it's all shaved. So it's like shaved like this. Like shaved. Pretty good. No, hold on, dude. Gorgeous. Step cut. Okay. So it's like longer, and I had like a part like here, and it was here, and I had like the wave, and it was like short here. I should have brought a picture. I don't know. I'll bring one in. So it was, no, I'm telling you, like, dude, chicks dug it. It was cool. Except for these ones behind me. So it's a little bit longer, right? And they're clapping, and what they're doing is they're like leaning forward, and I had like a little cowlick, right? Still do. Got to moose the crap out of it to keep it staying. But they're like clapping like over the seat like this, like right by my ears, and like clapping my cowlick and stuff. And I remember standing there with nobody on my right, nobody on my left, and just feeling so alone and like on the outside. And they weren't like, they weren't being excessively mean or anything. They're just kind of goofing around, but it just made me feel so like alone. There's this other time, so junior high kind of went by, and that was kind of awkward, and, you know, whatever. But high school came, and I was a freshman in high school, and I'm like, yes, high school is here. I'm going to be somebody new. It's going to be awesome. Still about yay high. And I get into high school, and probably like the second week of school or something like that, somewhere early on, I was, you know, in PE, and I was getting dressed after PE, and some guys grabbed me, some senior guys who were a little bit bigger than me, and you know, I was in my boxers, and took me outside and stuck me up against a pole and duct taped the crap out of me off the ground in my underwear, and I stayed there almost an entire period duct taped to a pole in my underwear at school when everybody was walking by. I'm being serious. This happened to me. I'm being serious. So Cyrus, good luck next year. I remember hanging there on the pole, right, with the duct tape, and luckily I didn't really have any hair, so it didn't really hurt that bad to take it all off, but kind of. And I remember just like hanging there in my underwear, just like waiting for somebody to like let me out. People are always like, "Did you like yell out for help and stuff?" And like, no, like, you're going to make a bad situation worse. Like, people are going to make even more fun of me because I'm like, help, help. You know, like a damsel in distress or something, duct taped to a pole in my underwear. And I remember hanging there on the pole, and I'm just like, man, I'm so on the outside of things. I'm so alone. You know, there was nobody else duct taped to the other side of the pole in their underwear. All the other poles were clean. That would have been cool. That would have been nice. You know, so I did that my senior year, but just kidding. But I should have. And I still might. Some of you are small enough. We got all kinds of poles around here. And I just remember hanging there and just feeling so on the outside and so alone. And things kind of changed throughout high school, and, you know, I became the most popular guy in school, and, you know, no, just kidding. That part wasn't true. Everything else is true. But, right. So, you know, things changed, and I started to fit in, and I found some friends, and you know, I found a group, and in high school, I actually really liked high school after, like, week two, three, whenever that was. Things kind of worked out, But it made me think of this story that we're going to read today, and it's part of the reason that we're changing the youth ministry around. And I don't know if you're tracking with that yet or not, but hopefully you will. And so, you know, some of you guys have seen this already, but when I was a kid, when I was, you know, in elementary school and junior high and high school and college, the way that I learned the Bible was through awesome songs like "I Don't Want It." Huh? Huh? Do we need to play it?
No.
What song? We might play it at the end, huh? But also the other way that I learned the stories of the Bible was through what I like to call flannel graph. You guys know what flannel graph is? Does anybody not know what flannel graph is? Okay, good. All right, so here's the idea behind flannel graph. No, I was just kidding about the college part and the high school. And I don't know. They might have done it in junior high. I was only like this big. So here's the idea behind flannel graph. Flannel graph is this awesome storytelling device where you know, you basically communicate in the best way possible. Yes. So here's how it works. There's characters that stick on the flannel. They're also made of flannel. Graph. What's that? Oh no, they're full on flannel. Well, when I was a kid, now they're like paper and they got like flannel patches on them. Like, what the heck is that? That's not flannel graph. Relax. So there's these characters that stick on. So Jesus is always Jesus. Right? There's a character, he's always Jesus. There's two Jesuses. There's either sitting Jesus or there's standing Jesus. And that's Jesus, right? So he can't be anybody else. This is all biblically based. Jesus was either sitting or he was standing. Or you could take, huh? You can take, there's baby Jesus too. He doesn't really count because he's always in the manger. You can't take him out. He's attached to the manger. You could cut him out, I guess. Yeah. I stand corrected. So that's Jesus. And then there's other characters. And those other characters, the cool thing about the other characters is that they can be anybody. So you don't really know. So you slap Jesus up and you're like, oh yeah, that's standing Jesus. I know Jesus. All right. And then you slap another guy up and you're like, I have no idea. This story could be about David, or it could be about Jonah, or it could be about Nehemiah, or it could be about Peter, or it could be about anybody. And
he's always there, dude.
Dude, Jesus is everywhere. Jesus doesn't have to be up there. All right, so anyways, Jesus is in all of them. David and Goliath, you know, whatever. And then there's always the crowd, right? And the crowd is like, there's like three people, and then there's like tons of little heads like around them, behind them, right? And that's the crowd. So when Jesus feeds 5,000, Jesus feeds like three people and like 12 heads. And that's what Jesus feeding the 5,000 is. And this is flannel graph, right? So this is the best way to learn the Bible. By far, there's no other greater way. You know, VeggieTales, not even close to flannel graph, right? So, does it? Ooh, a comic Bible, too. I don't know. I'll pray about that. All right, so I figured, you know, we're doing this today, and it's just such an important morning, because we're just like, we're saying, here's how everything's changing. This is all exciting. I'm super pumped about it. And here's this Bible story that kind of illustrates the points that we're trying to make and we're trying to do. And so it's this huge, important thing. And the best way to do it would be through flannel graph. So, Aaron. This right here. This is standing Jesus. This is, not only is it standing Jesus, this is relatively life-sized.
What'd you do to
flannel
him?
Graph.
He's like a,
yeah.
Jesus. You like electrified him or something.
Did they ever make this?
Did you like
I made this.
Did you stick that finger into like a socket or something, dude?
I don't know how to use fabric paint, and it ran a little bit.
Sure. Looks like you.
Come on. That's your job.
Oh, okay.
Relatively life-sized. Oh, you got to put him on the right side, dude. Look at where he's facing. You can't put him there. Do you even know flannel graph?
Dude, it's been like how long?
So my goal was, you know, how awesome would it be if we had like a life-sized flannel graph Jesus, right? And I was like, sweet, and I'll make it. And then it came out and he's like, my junior high height. And I was like, I'm going to call him relatively life-sized flannel graph Jesus. So this is flannel graph Jesus right here. Hobbit Jesus? Maybe. Ah. What? So that's who this is. This guy right here.
Does God ever converse with an angel on the Bible?
Yeah.
He does?
Satan?
Oh.
Curious George!
See?
This guy
is the man in the big yellow hat. That's his name. That's his name.
Can I put it this way?
No, you can't put it that way. So this guy right here. This guy could be anybody. So at this point in time, we have standing Jesus, relatively life-size, made out of flannel graph. And we have this guy who's doing like the Michael Jackson lean, apparently. But also this thing. I stand like this often. I don't know about you. But this could be anybody. So right now, we're in Mark. We're in Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 35. The scene is set. There's a lot of sky. They're in Montana, big sky. And we have relatively life-size flannel graph, standing Jesus, and other guy. Mark 1:35, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions, maybe I should let you pray for a little longer. Go ahead. He doesn't pray very often, so I thought I'd give him a shot. Just kidding. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I've come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons.
Driving out demons, man.
Oh. That's how they did it in the Bible days. He goes to Kings, he would know. So here's the scene, right? Jesus is out praying. The disciples come looking for him. Where have you been? Everybody is looking for you. And Jesus is like, man, everybody's looking for me? I don't want to find everybody. I need to go out and preach the gospel. That's what I'm doing. So they take off, and they go throughout Galilee, and they're preaching the gospel. So they're out walking around, right, from city to city, and they meet this guy. Verse 40, a man with leprosy. You can kind of see the leprosy here. See, it's like his skin is running off his face onto his... It kind of worked out that way a little bit, and... You know, he's got a gorgeous beard, but don't let it fool you because it's very contagious. It's actually no hair in that beard. It's just rotting skin. It is you. Stand like this. No, the other hand. Yeah. Yeah, it is you. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees. You don't do anything in flannel graph land. He stays like that. If you are willing, you can make me clean. No, there isn't. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer your sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. So here's the scene. Jesus and his disciples are walking along down the street, and this man with leprosy comes and kneels down before Jesus and says, "If you're willing, heal me." Now, I know a lot of you guys know about leprosy and some of you guys don't, so I'm just going to kind of get us all on the same page here real quick. Leprosy is a skin disease. It's highly contagious, and basically it rots the flesh off of your bones, and it's pretty disgusting. And so this guy might have had this. He might have had some other skin disease that was highly contagious. We don't really know, but I like to think that he has the one that's rotting the flesh off of his bones, and it's like sagging and kind of like on a Batman, the new one, Dark Knight, you know? Two-Face, and you can kind of see through his face, you know what I'm saying? Kind of like that, a little bit. That's how I like to picture it. So this guy's skin is like rotting off his face and falling onto his robe, and he comes down and he says, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Now, the other thing about leprosy is it's so contagious that they can't hang out with anybody. If you have leprosy, you live out kind of off on your own, maybe in another leper colony, but probably out on your own. Some of them lived in tombs. Some of them made little tents outside the city. And anytime they had to come into the city for anything, go to get food, or anytime somebody came close to them, they had to yell out, "Unclean, unclean. People would steer clear of them. And that's what leprosy did. So not only were you rotting away and your skin was coming off of your bones and you were in a lot of pain and there was nothing you could do about it, but also there was nobody around you. And so you're all alone, you're isolated. And he comes and he falls. Jesus knees and says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus, it says Jesus had compassion on him and he reached out and he touched him. Now the thing about leprosy is nobody's touched this guy in who knows how long. Right? He's got this highly contagious disease. Nobody's touched him in who knows. And yet Jesus touches him and he heals him. And then it's kind of weird. Jesus says, don't tell anybody what I did. And I didn't get that for a while. He says, I just changed your entire life. Don't tell anybody what I did. Instead, go to Jerusalem, go to the priest, present yourself there. They'll declare you clean. Then you can live with your families again. And it says, instead, he went off and he told everyone. And I thought about this and I'm like, what is going on here? There's two things going on, I think. The first, he says, go to the priest, go to Jerusalem. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the end for him. Jerusalem is where he's crucified. That is his ultimate destination here in this life. He's going to Jerusalem. And so he's sending this guy to the priest to kind of prepare his way as he goes to Jerusalem. And the second thing is, he says, don't tell anybody about this. And he goes out and tells people anyways. Did you notice what happens? So the thing about a leper, right? They're kind of isolated. They can't go into the cities. And Jesus was kind of out and around preaching, right? He's rocking around preaching. So the leper's out in the city. Jesus is around preaching throughout different cities. And then check it out. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Did you see that? The leper is isolated. Jesus is around preaching. Jesus says, don't go tell anybody. But the leper goes and he preaches, right? He's telling everybody. And Jesus has to stay out, and he's isolated now. And I was thinking about this, and I think this story has always kind of been one of my favorites, partially because I like talking about leprosy because it's kind of disgusting. And I like talking about, you know, holes in people's faces and like ears dripping off and like, you know, falling off in your hand and stuff like that. I like talking about that stuff. But also because the thing about the story is the big thing about the story is that Jesus... It's not that Jesus healed him. It's that he was isolated. He was by himself. He was like me at church with nobody on his right, nobody on his left, and girls clapping in his cowlick. He was all on his own. Duct taped to a pole in his underwear. People walking by him. And Jesus made it so he could be a part of the community again. He could be part of the city. He could have friends around him again. People could touch him again. He could shake somebody's hand. He could hug him. He could kiss. Things he could never do before. And thinking about this story, and thinking about us as Christians, sometimes we don't do a very good job of doing this. Sometimes we mark people as lepers and we make them outside. And yet, what Jesus did is he said, okay, well, if you want to be on the inside, then I'm going to step outside. You get that? He's pulling people in. He's making them a part of the community again. He's not just healing this guy and making him better so his skin's not dripping off his face. He's doing that, yeah, but what he's really doing is he's making him a part of the community again. And one of the things that we've been trying to do and we're wanting to do even more is make this a place where if you've ever felt like you're on the outside, you can come here and feel like you're on the inside. And if you mostly feel like you're on the inside, you can bring other people who feel like they're on the outside inside with you. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11, Paul's writing this to a church in Ephesus, and he says, "It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." And verse 16, it says, "From him," being Christ, "the whole body joined at the head together, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." And he's saying, you're part of something. You're part of a body. And everybody has their role in the body. You've got gifts that God has given you, and he wants you to use them here. He wants you to use them out there. And so, in order to do that, what we're trying to do is make this a space where all of us can use our gifts. We can encourage each other, and we can minister to each other, and we can bring people who are on the outside in. And I'm not talking about people who don't go to this church. We can bring them to this church. That's part of it. But there's people that you guys know who you know just don't fit in, who don't have friends, who are alone, who get made fun of. All of us know somebody like that. Some of us might be that person. But all of us know somebody like that. And all of us have felt like that at some point in time. And as Christians, it's our job to bring outsiders in. And so, here, let me tell you a little bit about what this place is going to look like starting in about 2 weeks. On Sunday mornings, I'm not going to talk at you anymore. I'm not going to be up here much at all on Sunday mornings. I'll be here, but I'm not going to be up front very much. It's you guys who are going to be leading Sunday mornings. The student ministry team's kind of heading it up. They decided that something that they are excited about and want to do. And so they've had a couple meetings and are getting kind of excited. They've even they narrowed down a list to 3 names. And there's one very likely name that's already happening for this Sunday morning thing. And Sunday mornings are going to look like this. There might be a devotional, or there might be a little testimony, or there might be just a little bit of a teaching, a short one or something like that from one of you guys. And it doesn't have to be somebody on the student ministry team. It could be anybody. But there might be something like that. There might be a little bit of worship through music. There might be a morning where we just sit here and do music the whole morning. There might be, we talked about some crazy ideas. We talked about some good ideas. We talked about some that weren't very good, and most of those were mine. But we talked about a lot of different ideas. And so the thing about this Sunday mornings is going to be, they're not going to be like this anymore. They're going to be open-ended. They're going to be a chance for you guys to share with each other. Because you know what? God's doing a lot of really cool stuff in a lot of your guys' lives. And I get to hear about it sometimes, and small group leaders get to hear about it sometimes, but you guys don't get to hear about it very often. But also, there's a lot of you guys here that just struggle with stuff and who need prayer and who need people around you to support you because you're feeling like you're on the outside or you're overwhelmed by the stuff going on in your life. We want this to be a place where you can share that, where we can pray for you, we can encourage you, where we can help you. You see, I feel like this high school ministry, I love it to death, and I think God's been doing some really awesome stuff. I'm actually super excited about it. But one of the things that was really missing, I think, is that there was no opportunity for us to come together and hear what God's doing in our lives. There was no opportunity for us to get together and really know how to love each other. And so we're hoping this Sunday morning, with kind of an open-ended format, with kind of discussion-based, with a lot of interaction, kind of hoping that this will be a morning where we can come together, we can worship God, we can share our lives together, where we can pray for each other, where we can do some crazy stuff together. And that's kind of what Sunday mornings are going to look like. That's about all the firmness I have on it. And it might look different a lot, especially in the beginning. We're trying to feel it out, but we're excited about it nonetheless. Wednesday nights, they're not going to be small groups anymore. Wednesday nights are going to be a time where we come together and we do worship through music for 20 minutes, half an hour. And then we'll do maybe a game or two. And then we'll have our talk then. And we'll also have some time to just kind of reflect on that talk and discuss it and chat about it in smaller groups and the bigger group. Because we don't want to just sit here and talk at you and then send you out the door. Because I know how that works. I know how that works with me is I'll hear something, I'll go to church, somebody will talk at me, I'll be like, huh, that's interesting, I'll go out the door, and I kind of forget about it. And so we want you guys to be able to interact with things a little more, for things to become a little more meaningful to you. And so that'll be what Wednesday nights look like. And then small groups are going to kind of meet whenever throughout the week. And that's what they'll meet whenever, wherever, and kind of be up to your small group. And we'll talk a little bit more about that coming up also. So that's kind of what's in store. I'm super excited about it. I think it gives us a lot of opportunities to do a lot of cool stuff and be really creative with how we do it. And I'm just super pumped. There's some other minor changes coming too, but those are the big ones and kind of the gist of it. Anybody else, like student ministry team, you guys want to say anything? Or staff, anybody want to say anything? Any of that stuff? Nothing? Cool. Do you have a question? Weren't you raising your hand earlier? Pretty sure you were. Okay. Okay, so does anybody have any questions about any of this stuff? And, you know, it's kind of all an experiment, and is it going to work? We don't know. But we really feel like it's something that God's doing in here, and we're really kind of getting excited about it, so... pretty pumped. Yeah?
I was going to say that that's how I started coming to TBC. We had that type of thing. A lot of these kids' parents went to it too. We had the worship, we had the talk, we had the teaching, and then we had discussion groups.
Awesome.
Great.
Awesome. Questions? Sweet. Well, that's kind of some of the changes coming up. That's going to happen in a couple of weeks. And so we don't start Wednesday night things for another two Wednesday nights, so on the 24th, I think, of September. So you can look forward to that. Come check it out, see what it's going to be like. This Wednesday, if you're kind of around and not doing a whole lot, some of us are going to meet here, and we're just going to kind of do some stuff to the room, just to kind of pretty it up a little, and we got some big ideas on what's going to happen with the room, so we're kind of excited about that too. So if you're around and not doing much from 6:30 to 8:30 or so, we'll probably have some pizza and hang out, and we'll just kind of goof around the room a little bit. Question? You stretch like this? Awesome. Well, let's close in prayer, and you guys can hang out for a little bit and then get out of here. God, I want to thank you for this morning. I thank you for a chance for us to come together and talk about something that's important in your word, and being part of a body, being part of a family, being on the inside, God. And God, I pray that this would be a place and we would be a group of people that see people who are on the outside and invite them in. That see people who look to their right and their left and don't have anybody sitting next to them. And invite them to sit next to us. God made this be a place where high school students get to use your gifts to minister in each other's lives and to love each other. God, I'm excited about what you're doing here. I'm excited about a lot of the awesome things that are happening in this group and in the people in this group, God. And I just pray that you would continue to do your work in us. Continue to lead us and give us the faith and the courage to follow you wherever you take us. God, we love you, and we just we thank you for this morning. And we pray a blessing on the rest of this day. And praise in Jesus' name. Amen.